You're listening to Nick Luck Daily, bringing you the latest news and the best interviews from around the world of horse racing. This episode is brought to you by the Racehorse Owners Association, by Thoroughbred Racing Commentary's Global Rankings in partnership with the Saudi Cup, and by the Fitzdares Club. Hi there, welcome to the show, bringing you the latest news and sharpest insight from around the world of horse racing every weekday. It is Thursday, February the 18th, and I'm coming to you once again from Riyadh, 48 hours out from the running of the world's richest horse race, the 2021 Saudi Cup. The draw took place last night. All the connections of the leading fancies seemed pretty happy. Charlatan in post 9, just where Bob Baffert wanted. Nick's go in 5, Brad Cox and his team happy with that. Extra Elusive for Roger Charlton drew the outside in 14, but Charlton and jockey Holly Doyle didn't want the horse crowded, so they were happy. Also happy, Chur Wizard's connections from stall 1. They say he's a versatile horse, so the inside draw might help us. And Mishriff, trained by John Gosden, well, his son and assistant Thady was very happy with stall 12. Just to allow himself a bit of time to establish a position. So it's going to be a no-excuses race on one of the fairest tracks anywhere in the world, more of which in a few moments' time. I will also be talking later in the show to Barry Irwin of Team Valor. Now, they've got a key runner on the undercard, Spanish Mission, trained by Andrew Balding, who will run in the Red Sea Turf Handicap, $2.5 million. But that's not the most interesting part of Barry Irwin's interview. Much more interesting is the news that his high-end syndicate outfit, who raced the Kentucky Derby winner, don't forget Animal Kingdom, are leaving the United States altogether. They've threatened it for a long time because of the US drug policies, but Irwin is fed up and he's pulling out. And he's coming to Europe. It's not surprising news, but it makes compelling, compelling listening. And I would urge you to stay tuned. What's happening at home in the UK, first of all? And I'm going to check in with Cornelius Lycett. And we started yesterday, Cornelius, with the reaction from the general press and the racing press to the Panorama documentary about Sheikh Mohammed and his daughter, Princess Latifah, the night before last. How has that developed over the last day or so?
Well, I think Lee said yesterday, didn't he, that this story wasn't going anywhere. And like all good news organisations, when they get an exclusive of which they're pretty proud, my former employer, the BBC, has been a bit like a dog with a bone with the Princess Latifah story. It featured again in BBC News bulletins on TV and radio on Wednesday evening in the UK. My impression actually is that other news outlets, as often happens when one particular news outlet is proud of its exclusive, that they haven't perhaps taken it up in quite the way they might have. Looking at the Daily Telegraph newspaper, top of the pile here in the UK today, it's page 13, but it is day 2 of its coverage. The story has moved on to the extent that the Emirati authorities have apparently said the princess is safe in Dubai, and they've asked people to respect her privacy. The British government is officially finding the matter deeply troubling, and I imagine with so many businesses, not just racing, but a wide range of business in the UK involving the Sheikh and his family, the Maktoum family, the British government is probably a bit like horse racing, slightly wishing the story would go away, but that is clearly not going to happen. In terms of those involved in horse racing, who'll be monitoring just how damaging, potentially damaging, this is to it. Well, clearly it's very potentially damaging, and it has huge importance with so many hundreds, perhaps thousands of jobs relying on the Maktoum family. But if you watch the TV bulletins or listen to the radio bulletins, it's not horse racing in the top line, but racing is clearly getting plenty of mentions from diplomatic correspondents and others who are reporting this story.
We'll come on to what's happening on the racecourse at the weekend in the UK shortly, but what else is preoccupying the headline writers in terms of what's going on the track?
Well, the Get Your Ladbrokes Daily Odds Novices Stakes at Wolverhampton 215 might not normally have featured very highly in the news, but I think for two reasons, actually, this Wednesday afternoon race is featuring. First of all, another incident involving a race start, which has caused controversy in the British Isles. There have been quite a number in both Britain and Ireland in recent months. And in that 2:15 race at Wolverhampton on the all-weather circuit, the field was sent on its way with one of the runners, Countessa, trained by Hugo Palmer, not in the stalls. There was a steward's inquiry. She was deemed a non-runner, retrospectively withdrawn, and a report sent on to the British Horse Racing Authority. That's caused a certain amount of controversy. Hugo Palmer having plenty to say as a result. It's been acknowledged it was human error. Hugo Palmer quoted as saying, "Hi, I have every confidence in receiving compensation over this." And there was a similar incident at Newcastle. Well, there was an incident involving a start at Newcastle. And although I don't think I've heard this officially confirmed, and BHA hasn't confirmed it to me, anecdotally I've heard that compensation was paid on that particular occasion. But Hugo Palmer also pointed out that it was fortunate that the horses weren't sent on their way with the horse going into the stalls with a stalls handler, because clearly a serious accident could then have taken place. That's the first part of the story and the main headline. I'll tell you the other thing to definitely take away from the race was the winner, See the Stars colt called See the Shells, trained by Mark Johnston, ridden by Franny Norton, and an entry in the Derby at Epsom in June, hopefully. And that See the Shells won in very impressive style. Wouldn't be at all surprised to see it climb quite a few rungs of the flat racing ladder in the not too distant future.
And just to link with what's going on here in Riyadh, Mark Johnston will be represented in the Red Sea Handicap by Mildenberg, and the owner of Countessa, the horse who wasn't allowed to start at Wolverhampton or didn't get to start at Wolverhampton, is Sheikh Isa bin Salman, who has Global Giant running in the $20 million Saudi Cup. That, of course, takes place on Saturday evening GMT. It's a very small world. Very small world, and this podcast is only serving to make it smaller and smaller, Cornelius.
The marketeers would only come up with very similar words.
Yeah, that won't be the strap line when we finally get around to that sort of thing. Let's talk about Ascot on Saturday and Newbury on Sunday. I'm very much looking forward to seeing Champ drop that to 2 miles in the Game Spirit Chase. We spoke to Nicky Henderson a lot about that on Monday's episode, but it's had another interesting layer, this story, hasn't it?
Yeah, so Champ is a nephew of Best Mate, Champ's mum, China Sky, a half-sister to Best Mate. And Best Mate's trainer has quite understandably been asked for her views, Henrietta Knight, A, because of the Best Mate connection, and B, because her academy close to Wantage, Oxfordshire, which is particularly adept at bringing horses in and just polishing up their jumping. She's had dealings with Champ, and she is quoted in the Racing Post newspaper today thus, and this is I think this is a striking quote: "He's probably got more ability than Best Mate, though Best Mate's jumping was better." Well, the Best Mate's jumping raised the bar very high indeed, so no disgrace to be slightly less good a jumper than Best Mate. But that quote from Henrietta Knight, who's not a big one for hyperbole, I don't think, he's probably got more ability than Best Mate. So those who are really interested in this horse, A, for the Game Spirit chase at Newbury, but B, for the Cheltenham Gold Cup in the middle of March, will be really struck, I think, by that quote. Let's just say it again, because it is a good one. He's probably got more ability than Best Mate, though Best Mate's jumping is better.
Talking of horses of ability, Colin Tizard has plenty of them, and they are starting to put their best foot forward, or at least some of them are. His alliance with Irish-based jockey Robbie Power is about to kick off again after COVID interrupted it earlier in the season.
Yeah, so Robbie Power came over to Britain to be based in Britain and to ride the Tizard horses, and then things, because of COVID, became very complicated, so he went home. I think regulations have just changed slightly in Ireland, so it is a more reasonable proposition, a more practical proposition to come to Britain again as an elite sports person. So we're expecting to see Robbie Power in action for the Tizard team at Ascot on Saturday, where Lost in Translation is a possibility for the Ascot Chase, and at Newbury on Sunday, where Lost in Translation is a possibility for the Denman Chase. I don't think exact plans have been sorted out yet, but other good horses, the big breakaway, I think, due to be in action as well. So Robbie Power and Colin Tizard and the Colin Tizard team have been a really potent force, not just in the earlier on this season, but in seasons, plural, over the last few years. So really looking forward to them teaming up. And I think people really sort of poised for an avalanche of winners to start at some point. That avalanche hasn't started yet, but this weekend with Ascot and Wincanton and Haydock on Saturday, and then the rearranged Super Saturday, that would be a good time, would it not, to really get the show going again.
So I'm here in Riyadh ahead of the Saudi Cup this year, the world's richest horse race. The Saudi Cup undercard is nothing if not creative, for it features the second most valuable handicap run anywhere in the world, turf handicap, in the shape of the Red Sea. It's run over the guts of 2 miles, and it was won last year by very smart horse trained by Freddie Head. The first, second and third are all in the race again, but an intriguing addition to the race is Spanish Mission, who's owned by Team Valor, is now trained by Andrew Balding, and has been a very successful money spinning globetrotter for the Team Valor team, whose president Barry Irwin joins me now. Barry, it's a really interesting race, this. It threw up a good addition last year. What sort of confidence do you go into this year's renewal with?
I think we feel good about our chances. I wish that we could have gotten a prep race into the horse, because when he ran in Dubai last year, he came off the layoff and he ran horribly. He was very lethargic and just kind of poked his way around there. And the trainer at the time, David Simcock, said that he made a mistake, that he should have learned from the previous year when the horse came out and needed one, and if he had to do it again, he would give him a prep. But we were unable to get a prep this year, or even a gallop over a track, because of the COVID travel restrictions. So I talked to Andrew Balding, our trainer, and he says, look, I've got him as good as I can get him without a prep. I hope we don't need one. We've got very good gallops at King's Clare. So right now, I wouldn't worry about it if I were you.
And as you say, you switched trainers midway through last season. It reaped dividends fairly instantly. Did you feel that he needed a freshen up, a change of scenery?
It was more of an issue that I had with the other trainer. It had nothing to do with the way he trained this whole. In particular, I thought he did a very good job.
And the horse, as I say, he's been a good money spinner. He's successfully traveled in the past. Generally speaking, do you feel he is the type of horse with the right temperament for globe trotting?
Yes, he's got the ideal temperament. There's no question about it. Everybody that's ever done any work with him at all, that's the first thing they'll tell you.
You see the quality of the opposition. Do you see yourself right there or thereabouts on that basis?
Yeah, I know Call the Wind very well, because we had an English horse with Martin Mead a couple of years ago named Technician, and they were contemporaries in France. Technician was the champion three-year-old and stayer of his year ahead of this horse. He loves it really soft. This horse seems to be able to go on anything, and he's a legitimate horse. There's no question about it. And he's done a great job, but I would say, look, our official rating is 110. Where they come up with that, I don't know. Based on everything I know, I put him at about 115, maybe a little bit higher. The other horse is 118. Can we beat that other horse? Yes. Is that our horse better than us? Yes. But we are competitive with him.
Now, Team Valor's had significant success both sides of the Atlantic. You are slightly shifting your emphasis now toward Europe. Just tell me why that is.
Well, I'm an advocate for clean racing. I've been at it in America since the year 2004, when I wrote a story in the Blood Horse asking the industry to take on the United States Anti-Doping Association to oversee drugs in U.S. racing. And it only happened last year. So I fought for it for 16 years. And in the meantime, the year before last, I just decided that I'd seen enough You know, I didn't know if the legislation was going to come through. And even if the legislation did come through, which it did, it's going to take at least 3 or 4 years until it has an impact. In the meantime, I am just tired of running against trainers in America that are using performance-enhancing drugs. I've seen enough of it. And I told my investors, I said, look, I don't want to race here anymore. I've had it. I'd rather race Europe. For me, it's more beautiful. It's more fun. The prize money is not as great. However, we're in this for entertainment, for fun, for asset appreciation. And I think we can make some money if we get the right horses. And so far, they've backed me on it. And last year, every horse I bought, we raced overseas. We bought nothing in the United States last year.
You mentioned performance-enhancing drugs. Do you feel that the testing systems thus far are simply not good enough to catch illegal substances?
Well, I know a lot about this subject. And the basic principle is this. Testing in and of itself can't really catch anybody. It never caught Lance Armstrong. Okay? Testing is only good to verify what you think you know. So, like, I don't know if you ever heard of the Balco scandal, Bay Area Laboratories. It was an athletics thing with they caught Marion Jones and a few people like that. And so basically, the drugs that are being used are designer drugs. So they take a steroid and they change a couple of the molecules in its structure. And unless you know exactly what the formula is, you can't catch it. So what really is going to make a difference in catching anything is the police work, the investigative work. And as I'm sure you've read, two of our most notorious trainers, Jason Service and Jorge Navarro, were arrested last year. And they did use testing to verify what they did. But first, they just did regular old police work. And they found the substances. They sent them to a lab. They broke it down. And that's how they found these guys.
And how optimistic are you that now the law has been passed that you've been fighting for, that there can be a change, that the necessary change in American horse racing? I know you say it might take 3 or 4 years, but do you think all hope is lost, or do you think the United States will get there?
I think we'll get there, but it's, you know, the thing that makes America great and also makes it not so great, it's too darn big. You know, there's too many people, there's too much money, and anytime you have too much money and things are too big, there's corruption. And I think if we, I don't want to see this have to happen because I'm not an elitist, but if we get to a point where we're focusing on the top races, the group races, and the, you know, the major prep races for the classics and stuff. If we do that, we're going to have no trouble. But it's some of these outlying places or some of these states where the racing people, the commission, just aren't ever really going to be totally cooperative, you know? In America, our big thing is you have the federal government, you have the 50 states, and the states' rights is a big issue here. All the states don't want to give anything up. They've got their own little fief. And they're hanging on for dear life.
Barry, how many horses would you expect to have in Europe this year?
I think we're going to wind up with about, we'll get into about 20-something. And then as we're up to full strength, we'll probably have around between 25 and 33 horses that'll actually be racing. And then we'll have some that'll inevitably be, you know, being rehabbed or laid up or something like that. But we've had as many as 40, 45 horses in the past, but we've always done well keeping around 25 to 28 horses. That way you can manage them better. When you start getting too many horses, it's tough because you lose focus.
And it'll be on an elite syndicate basis, I'm guessing. Which trainers will you be using or adding to your roster?
In America, you have to be very careful because you don't know for sure which guys are on the up and up. In Europe, you know, there's very few people there that I would disqualify from training for me. So our modus operandi, we don't go to sales. We don't buy unraced horses. We watch for a horse to run. We find one that we think looks like it's got potential, and we buy it. And more often than not, will leave the horse with that trainer. But the trainers that we tend to use, we like Francis Griffard in France is one of them. I've always had horses with Marco Botti. I've known Andrew Balding for years and have had a few with him. In Ireland, where we have a few horses, we like Paddy Toomey and Jessica Harrington. But for me, I'm willing to have a horse. Look, if we buy a horse and the horse is doing well, that trainer must be doing something right, and we're more than willing to leave that horse with the guy, whether he's a prominent figure or a smaller trainer.
Do you think all the European trainers are clean as well?
No.
But that wouldn't deter you?
I've only identified two or three, and everybody else knows who they are. And the officials, every once in a while, have raids on them, or they're scrutinized. France has the best drug testing in the world. They're on a par with Hong Kong. So, they have to have their investigators, get lucky in order to catch somebody. But I think everybody knows who the bad guys are.
I'm guessing you're not going to name them.
You got that right.
Barry, I'm looking forward to seeing the green and red more often on the racecourses of Europe. And in the meantime, I wish you all the best with Spanish Mission. Thanks very much for sharing your thoughts with me.
Okay, thanks, Nick.
Well, a hugely important part of establishing any new sporting event is trying to get attraction and broadcast attention multinationally. The man with the responsibility for that here in Riyadh is Frank Sale, who's the managing director of HBA, who have the distribution rights to the Saudi Cup. Frank, we've been in this pandemic now almost exactly a year. How has that changed your role as regards dealing with broadcasters?
Hi, Nick. Yeah, I mean, you say exactly a year. This time last year, we were obviously about to go into unprecedented times. Since then, we've, HBA have had the responsibility of distributing Royal Ascot during a pandemic behind closed doors, the Melbourne Cup, the Breeders' Cup, the Pegasus World Cup, and now the Saudi Cup, our fifth event during COVID-19. So we're quite used to it now, and I think we've created this relationship with broadcasters where we can give the best of international horse racing a more prominent position within the scene of sports broadcasting around the world. We've also expanded our coverage on the digital side of things, and a great example of that is a deal we've done with Twitter across the Middle East for the Saudi Cup.
You mentioned Twitter, new media. How important is that for you now when you're distributing rights to a major event like this?
It's very, very important to always be at the forefront of what's going on in the media landscape, and think bigger than just, your general horse racing distribution. So we always like to have, year-on-year improvements. So the Twitter deal is something we're really excited about and think that the Jockey Club are pretty pleased with as well. On top of that, we've got the Saudi Cup aired by 32 broadcasters in 2021, which is an increase of 8 new broadcasters on last year, 7 of which are in Europe. So, Europe has particularly strong coverage this year. We're live on Fox Sports 1 exclusively in the US, with both Fox Sports 2 and TVG showing the undercard up until the live Saudi Cup. And, I think that the final thing I would kind of mention is, that the push we've made to keep the story and the narrative of the Saudi Cup going. We've got expanded highlights and replay opportunities in the weeks and months after. We've managed to get ESPN Sports Center in the USA to include a 2-minute piece on their news, which obviously just increases exposure dramatically. So overall, really strong distribution and very happy, and let's hope for a superb couple of days.
Frank Sale there, and before Frank, Barry Owen from Team Valor announcing his intention now to race almost exclusively in Europe. Cornelius Lysett is still with me, and Cornelius, all you have to do is give me a tip for today.
I'm going to take you to Sandown, the 2:30, a grade 2 novices hurdle. Good race for a Thursday, the James Seymour Mares novices hurdle. And there's a horse running here called Sandy Mount Rose. Sandy Mount Rose, trained by Neil Mulholland, the excellent Tom Scudamore on board, since the new year, has been successful in pretty soft ground at Exeter and then at Ludlow in heavy ground.
Cornelius, thank you. Thank you for listening as well. Just time for me to remind you, there is a new offer from our supporters at Fitzdares, who are offering money back as a free bet if your horse is beaten by a length on day one of the Cheltenham Festival. All you have to do is sign up www.fitzdares.com/luck. That's it for now. That was Thursday, February the 18th. We'll see you again tomorrow. Bye-bye. You've been listening to Nick Luck Daily, brought to you in association with Fitzdares, the Racehorse Owners Association, and Thoroughbred Racing Commentary.